Jim Fox joins us once again. Jim, how you doing?
Doing fine, guys. Doing fine.
Before we talk about the LA Kings, Jim, I want to talk about Pat Quinn and some of your memories with him.
Yeah, well, obviously the memories are all positive. Pat was one of those guys that really had a respect because he gave respect to his players, and his players gave the respect right back. And, you know, he had a big persona, big presence, powerful man. But, you know, inside the locker room at times, he could be funny man. He could be telling jokes. He could be laughing with us. A sensitive guy. And at the same time, you know, very, very direct. And he was a great teacher. The way he communicated his points across made him one of the best teachers I've ever played for, because he didn't have to say it more than once. He said it so clearly. You understood exactly what was going on, exactly what was asked, and that went a long way. But, you know, just one of those things where he's a gentleman, a pleasure to play for him, an honor to play for him, and, you know, if we're going to miss him, the hockey world is going to miss him.
Yeah, he was quite the character. There's no doubt about it. Let's take a look at your LA Kings here. LA Kings are right in the mix in the Pacific Division and, quite honestly, in the NHL. Do you see any situation where the team is, you know, perhaps fatigued somewhat from that long run, the postseason, that last year and numerous years before that?
It's a good question. Yeah, it's a good question. It's tough to, you know, you just kind of hit the quarter pole and, you know, putting together numbers as they were doing. If the Kings play the same way the rest of the way, they'll set a team record, franchise record for points in the regular season. So, it's been good from that standpoint, but I know what you're saying. There are some games. The Kings are certainly not in control as much as they have been in the past. They're not, you know, the puck possession game is not what it has been. But having said that, as a group of guys, they really know how to band together, and they really know how to come together and get 2 points. And at the bottom, you know, that's the bottom line at the end of the night. So there have been some ups and downs. There's some injuries, there's suspensions, there's a lot of things they've had to deal with that maybe they haven't had to deal with in the past. I think Jonathan Quick is a big reason why they have the number of points they do. And in all honesty, he won the Conn Smythe Trophy back in 2012. I think this because he has been sharp.
Jim Fox joined us, and you know, and Quick's regular seasons the last few years coming off of injuries a few different times. Jim, you know, his numbers weren't there, but this year you mentioned he's playing really like he has in the postseason when they win Stanley Cups.
Well, you know, I think, you know, again, back in 2012, the Kings had the puck so much in that playoffs that, you know, Jonathan was the Conn Smythe winner, and he should be, you know, the big saves, those types of things, but even in 2013, when they made it all the way to the Western Conference Finals, and last year when they won the Cup again, I just think this year he's, again, his ability to find the puck, track the puck, you know, first save, if there's a rebound, be right in perfect position to make the next save, those types of things have gone a long way. And again, now that the Kings are not playing with the puck as much as they did in the past, I think that is a big concern, and he's needed and called upon more so early in the season.
Marian Gaborik is off to a slow start. Has been unhealthy at times, but not putting up huge numbers. You know, what do you see in his game that's kind of delayed his start?
Well, he was injured. He missed some games, so that knocked him back, especially right at the beginning of the season. So that's maybe players feel that's a little bit more difficult because everyone's got a huge head start on you. But no, he's been up and down. When he's carrying the puck at top speed, he's a force because you have to respect that speed. And when he's not, you know, he can be kind of out no man's land at times. So that's what every, you know, player is striving for, is to get back to a consistent level. And I think Marian's trying to do that right now. I think when he's on his game, you see what happens, especially in the Kings' power play. That picks up a lot because it just gives him another threat. And it's a threat the other team has to worry about. So, yeah, he's been up and down. That's, you know, that's kind of expected, I think, with the injury that he had. But the Kings will need him. They'll need him to do what he did in the playoffs last year, and that's be a consistent score.
Jim Fox joins us. Jim, Tanner Pearson was lights out early on. He had 7 goals in his first 8 games, and you know, the line earned a moniker, the 70s line. They were dominating. Then he went 11 games without a goal. Now he scored in 2 straight games again. Was he just a young guy kind of going through the, you know, a little bit of the ups and downs? I know they split up the line. How much of that impacted Pearson's play in your mind?
Hold on, guys. Hold on here. The Kings are on a pace to set a franchise record in points, and all we're talking about is the problems. What's going on here?
Well, we've got some positive ones coming up.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? that he plays at top speed all the time, Tanner does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that helps his lines, whoever he's playing with. I think maybe to a certain extent what happened, he kind of drifted away from the front of the net. You know, he wasn't going to the front as much, if I can be, you know, nitpick at, you know, that slump he had. I think the team kind of had a downturn then at the same time, and probably that's the correlation. You know, they were scoring so much, and the Kings were so good at the beginning, and then, you know, you have a little bit down spot. I think, and guys, the Kings have not played many road games this year. They only have one win on the road. Big concern, and I think what you're talking about with Tanner has a little bit to do with that. I think his slide started when they went on a road trip, and, you know, because Kopitar was injured at the time and Gabrick was injured at the time and they were just coming back from injuries, other teams could really focus on that 70s line. They could really just, you know, lock them down, and that's all you have to worry about, you know, basically as far as consistent scoring. So that had an effect. Last couple of games, back to getting to the front of the net and back to scoring goals.
Jim Fox joins us. You know, you talked about how great LA's playing, and they are, and it just illustrates, I guess, how tough the West is because, you know, they're in sixth place, and you're like, man, they're having a really good start to the season.
Well, numbers they are. Again, if you're going to set a franchise record, you're right. I mean, this West is, it's just, and that's, and guys, in all honesty, anytime you win a Stanley Cup, and you know, you guys know what that's all about there, but the route that the Kings took last year to get to the Cup,
sure.
I haven't looked at it numbers-wise yet, but to beat San Jose, then Anaheim, then Chicago, I mean, that was incredible. That was just the toughest competition I think you could expect to face. And then you get into the regular season again, and guess what you have? You have Nashville off to a great start. You have Vancouver back to playing the hockey they're known for. You know, and then the St. Louis and Chicago and Anaheim. It's just, you just go down the list. San Jose is going to be back there sooner or later. It's fun. You know what? It is fun, guys, because every night, man, oh, man, it's a good game. It's a real good game out there. The Kings just played a home-and-home with Anaheim.
Mm-hmm.
Lost in Anaheim in a shootout, won in L.A. in overtime. And, guys, those games were high-level play. I mean, both teams were not making many mistakes. It was really, really fun to watch. One was a little higher scoring than the other, but I just thought the execution level of both teams was really good.
One thing I can't understand is how a guy can play 29 minutes a night. To me, it is so undervalued. How hard or what's the right word? It's just so hard to do. When people understand how hard it is in the NHL to play nearly 29 minutes a night like Drew Doughty. He's obviously been great. You talk about his play and just what he means to this team.
Yeah, it's, you know, the thing that comes up right now all the time is, you know, they compare the minutes to Ryan Suter.
Yeah.
And it's a completely different game. And, you know, that's great for both guys because they're both great defensemen. But Ryan Suter plays an efficient, you know, conserve energy type of game. And that's great. He's effective at it. Drew Doughty, man, every shift, whether it's with the puck or without the puck, he is all over the place. And he's expending a lot of energy. And that's where my respect for him goes even higher and higher. And I think, as you guys are aware, when you get to the playoffs like they have been in the last little while, it's been very, very interesting because the faster the pace gets, it seems like Drew's game just fits in a lot better. And, you know, Daryl Sutter's been talking about it, and he's been saying, you know, you don't want to play him 30 minutes, but that's what we have right now. That's what he's saying. That's what the Kings have right now. They have issues back on the blue line, and it's something that Drew Doughty is going to have to kind of pick up the slack for, and he's doing as good as he can.
Well, the guy is just a monster. But, you know, the thing I think that's underrated about Drew Doughty as well, and maybe you could speak to that, is his competitiveness.
Yeah, you know what? I don't think it's ever going to change. I hope it never does change, but he's a kid. He just plays like a kid on a pond, and he's going out there, and he's trying to win every single shift. And that's his attitude. That he brings a lot of emotion to the game. He brings a lot of energy we were just talking about. He brings an unbelievable understanding of the game. I mean, he's a hockey savant. He just understands the position, the angles, what's needed at any point of game. Do you need to be aggressive? Do you need to back off? Do you need a shutdown? Do you need a goal? He knows exactly what's needed. And, you know, it's that attitude, and it's that competitiveness. He just loves it. He loves the game. And like I said, I hope he never loses that.
Analyst for the Kings, Jim Fox joins us. Jim, through all of this, and, you know, they're on the record-breaking pace, Jake Muzzins has missed six games. Voinov's only played six, and he was, you know, some would argue maybe their second-best defenseman, and they basically not had him for the entire year. Who has stepped up the most in his absence? And are you kind of surprised at how well they've played without their number two defenseman?
Yeah, you know, again, I think Quick deserves a lot of credit because of the types of games he's won. Again, the Kings being outshot dramatically or outchanced dramatically. I guess the guy that's risen more than any, because I put Doughty clearly number one, and I put Muzzin clearly number two, it's been Braden McNabb. I mean, you know, you have Green, you have Regeer, they're kind of veteran guys. You know what you're going to get every night. With Braden, he's still trying to figure his way into the NHL, but of late, he has really, really picked it up. He is more comfort, I guess, is the way it is. You know, you get comfortable maybe with a system, with a style. You know, he's playing in the Western Conference for the first time. So I think he has gone from a point early in the year where, you know, he was probably tentative, not necessarily sure what was going on, to a point now where, you know, he's getting the puck in the offensive zone. He's walking the line. He's getting shot through. He has kept something up that was a big part of a scouting report, which is, you know, just inside the Kings' blue line, if you're coming down the board, you've got to have your head up against them because he just has that knack. And it's almost like, you know, former Kings defenseman Rob Blake, Hall of Famer now, where when you're carrying the puck, you look up, you see a big gap. And if you hesitate for a split second, he closes the gap so quickly. And Rob did it, and I think Braden does it, and he does it against the boards. And he has two, maybe three big hits every single night. So it's something you need. And it's those types of hits that I don't think you intimidate anymore with hitting, but it certainly gets the attention of the opposition.
One quick one for you, Jim. Lastly, when you talk about that intimidation factor a little bit, how much has Kessler added to the Kings-Ducks rivalry? Has it been more intense with them? Because, you know, he kind of adds a different element that the Ducks never really had past their first line.
Yeah, it's a difference, and he's a difference maker. I don't think, I mean, the first game they played, he was dominant. Ended up winning the game for him, basically, in the third period. He scored in the second game, where the Kings won, but it is something that, you know, come playoff time, if they happen to meet again, that's where the Kings will have to find a way to improve because the Ducks have improved. And that's an area the Ducks did. They analyzed their team. They evaluated their team in the Western Conference, and they decided they needed a second centerman. And guess what? They went out and got the best player available at that position. So it's something that the Kings are going to have to make sure they have a chance to counteract somehow. And like I said, it makes Anaheim a stronger team than they were in the past.
Jim, appreciate your time. Have a great day.
Hey, guys, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.